and how I just sat here thinking and allowing myself to feel that even if I'm doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do doesn't make me worthy. And sometimes I get tired of doing the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. Sometimes I want to do the right thing because I want to do it. Sometimes I feel like I get in autopilot where I just do the right thing because I know it's the right thing to do. Right, it is okay. It's okay for a season, but it's not okay for a lifestyle. Because there's disconnect. So, I'm in Luke 15 this morning. And it's about the prodigal. I'm going to be in Luke 15, and then I'm going to be in Luke 10. And I don't know that I've ever had anyone connect these two, but I feel like there's a lot of connection between the two of these stories. There was once a man who had two sons, and the younger said to his father, "I want right now what's coming to me." We've heard this 100 times, but I just feel like there's something here this morning. So the father divided the property between them. And it wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. And there, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, "All those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you, and I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son started his speech. 'Father, I've sinned against God, and I've sinned before you, and I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found.' And they began to have a wonderful time. All this time, his older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in and he approached the house. He heard the music and dancing." Now you understand, the father distributed their inheritance among the both of them. So they were both given their inheritance to do with what they wanted. Your father has ordered a feast, barbecued beef, because he has him home safe and sound. Because he told him his brother came home. And the older brother stalked off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. The brother chose to do the right thing. He stayed. He stayed and he worked the field. He stayed and he didn't squander. He didn't go and just piss away everything his father had given him. He stayed. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, "Look, how many years I've stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief, But have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Have you ever done for me what you're doing for my brother who just spent everything you had given him, and he didn't respect it, he didn't honor it, he didn't cherish it, and in fact, he did the exact opposite, and now you're throwing him this party. Why did I stay in the field and work? If we both get your blessing, why did I choose the hard thing over and over and over? What he was saying is, Dad, you don't see me. You didn't see me. Why didn't you see me? I stayed. Why can't you see me? See what I did. See what he did? See what I did? Do you see me? No, you see him and you throw him a party. Don't you see I've been doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do? His father said, Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours. We focus on the prodigal son that went away, but the prodigal son, there's a prodigal son that stayed in the field too. Don't get it wrong. You can stay in the field and do the work and be a servant without stepping into sonship. And the earth is groaning for sons and daughters of God to realize who they are. And we're too busy staying servants and being bitter and being angry and resentful and hurt because some people can just go and have it easy. And then we hold back. All that is mine is yours. Anytime you want to throw a party, throw one. Anytime you want to come in from the field and not and have a party, have one. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate because your brother came to his senses and realized that he was not living in the fullness of what I have created him to live in. And also he said to him, Son, you are also not living in the fullness of what I have created you to live in. I have not created you to just be my servant. And I'm speaking to me. Because I don't want to just serve. Because I was created for more. You were created for more. This body was created for more. And it is not finished. We are not finished. We have breath in our lungs, so we are not done. And if you're tired of doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, I hear you. There's something that we have to grab a hold of in sonship, and it's his presence, and it's taking note of the areas in our heart maybe where we've become bitter and resentful for those that have walked away. And they seem to get seen, and everything I've done seems to get overlooked. I'm not even going to enter into that party because I'm still angry. That ain't going to last, him coming back. He'll just piss it all away again. Just watch. I'm not entering into that. He doesn't deserve that. I don't deserve it either. Just because I stayed doesn't give me a seat of judgment. God is just. He's not fair. He is just. I want him to be fair. Because it's not fair. It's not fair. But he's just. And he's sovereign. This brother of yours was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and he is found. And that is what we need to focus on as rejoicing in the fact that, because really, we were all once dead. We were all once lost. And if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, then we're found. And that's, like Roger said this morning with communion, what it's about, restoration of relationship with the Father. Luke 10. As they continued there, I'm in the message and I'm in verse 38 to 40. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village, and a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. You can already tell that Mary's annoyed. She's sitting there hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. Sorry, Roger, I interrupted you this morning. interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? God, don't you see what I'm doing? Again, two heart conditions. You see me, you don't see me. Don't you see what I'm in here doing for you? Don't you see this mess that's in the kitchen that needs attention? Why are you in here encouraging her to just hang on every word you say? Why are you not instructing her to get out in the kitchen and help me? She has a tainted view of her sister, and she has a tainted view of Jesus. And she has an idea of how she thinks Jesus should be governing her sister. Oh, we are not God. We do not get to say how he should and should not govern those around us. Just because you think someone should be doing this or that, if they're hanging on every word Jesus says, I promise you they will fulfill what Jesus has called them to fulfill. We don't have to govern it. We don't have to manipulate it. We don't have to try to get them to do what we want them to do because we think that's what they should be doing. It's the same thing the son that stayed did. He judged his brother, and he judged God. He judged his father. He said he had complete judgment against the both of them. The brother, because of how he lived his life, and the father, because he let the brother come back and put him right in the exact same place. He ought to have 100 billion hoops to jump through at least. He ought to have to do something, Father. You can't just throw him a party. He ought to start at servanthood or sit with the servants for a while or something. Surely you can't just put him right back at the seat of a son. Surely you can't do that. How fair is that? That is not fair. I stayed and you didn't do anything for me. I've stayed this whole time. Don't you know, Father? Haven't you seen that I never left the field? Everything you gave me, I took it. I didn't waste it. You're not doing it right, Dad. You're not doing it how I would do it. Now, the story doesn't go into all of the things that the son that left had to work through. Yes, the father restored him to sonship, but, you know, why do we do the hard things? Because it's not as easy. Yes, the father restores you, but that son had a lot of stuff to work through. That son had a lot of baggage and a lot of stuff, a lot of hard work ahead of him. I know it doesn't go into it there, but that's just reality. Real life. Those of us that have either walked away or maybe didn't serve God right away or hadn't grown up in that, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff to work through. So even the son's view of what the father did, it's skewed. But the father ran out and he restored him to his place of sonship, because I believe he knew it was going to be a long process and a long road, and he wanted to give him the best start that he could. So, Martha is telling Jesus what to do. Which, I laugh at that, but we do it too. We do it. We just disguise it. When we harden our hearts toward the move of God, when we harden our hearts towards those things, we're saying, Jesus, when we stand in judgment against our brothers and sisters, we're saying, you should govern this way. You should do this. You should do that. And you're not doing it the way that I would. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much. Now, I can just imagine, I don't know, I just imagine telling a woman she's fussing far too much did not go well, but maybe, I don't know. You're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. Because, see, guys, the truth is, everything that we do for God, if it's done out of a place of servanthood instead of sonship and daughterhood, those things are going to be taken. The only thing that will remain is the time that we spent with Him. It's the time that we spent hanging. Remember when you used to hang on every word He said? Like you couldn't wait for Him to speak? You know, Wednesday night in worship, I didn't even remember that word that about being the keys, but one thing I do remember is that God said to me, and I'm still, I don't know that I'm fully convinced yet, that this time things will be different. Because I heard Him ask me if I'm willing to be broken again and if I'm willing to be poured out again. And He said to me, but it won't look the same. It won't look the same this time. And I heard Him say, you can be broken and full, yet and emptied and filled at the same time. I have no idea how that's possible. But I do know that Jesus was broken, yet He's whole. And He was emptied, yet He remained full. And see, the problem with experiences is that if we allow them to hold us back, we'll never step out to get a new experience. If we're constantly in fear that our old experience is that when He asks us a similar or familiar thing, like, hey, Nick, you want to be broken again? Nope. No, thank you. I've had that. I've done that, and I don't want it. Do you want to be emptied out? Nope. Nope, I don't. I don't. But Jesus, if you say I can be broken and whole and emptied and full, then convince me. I'm sorry, but convince me. Because all I've ever experienced in brokenness is that it's hard and it sucks. And it usually means incredible loss. And I'm tired of loss being a teacher. Because loss changes us. But God. And if Jesus says I can be broken and whole at the same time, I know he's not a liar. And if he says I can be emptied out and yet remain full, and if he says that if you step out one more time, it won't look the same, I have to trust him. Because, see, I don't want to just stay in the field. I don't want to just stay in the field. I want to once again hang on every word he says. I want to sit at his feet, and not because it's the right thing to do, but because something in my heart is wooing me. When I felt like this year about going after his presence, and he put me in check, because I was like, well, God, we got to grow the church, and I can't let this ministry close. I can't. Ah. And Wednesday night, he showed me that Eastgate is his to carry. It's his to finish the work. It's his to fulfill the promises that he has spoken over her. It's not my job. It's not mine to carry. So he sees us. If you've been in the field and you stayed after it and you've chosen the hard things over and over and over, he sees it. But he wants more for us than that. You can be in the field as a son, and the freedom of knowing you're a son in the field is that you can come in whenever you want and you can throw a party. If you're tired, lay down. That's the privilege of being a son in the field. Because, right, reality is like, Jesus was just telling Martha, sit here so that when you go to the kitchen, you don't judge the ones that are still sitting here. Because, right, there's seasons, there's stages, there's seasons in life where you just need to sit there. And you need Martha to leave you sit there and not judge you and not condemn you for sitting there. And then when the Lord releases you and you go to the kitchen, then you get to be Martha to a Mary that's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Heidi Baker always used to say, fruitfulness stems from intimacy. Meaning, we can't have fruitfulness just in our works. It has to flow from a place of sonship and daughterhood. Because otherwise, it's all about me. Otherwise, it's all about what I can do, what I can't do. And so this morning, if there's areas in our lives where we've been servants in the field, just come in and throw a party. I don't even know how else to just release judgment. And join in the party for your brothers and sisters. And let's learn how to maybe let the kitchen be messy for a bit and come and sit at his feet again. Everybody knows dishes will wait for you. They ain't going anywhere. Right? And the mess is so much better to clean up once you've been in the presence. The mess is so much easier, isn't it? Like, the mess can seem so big and so overwhelming, but then you get in the presence and you're like, the mess kind of comes into perspective again. And it's the presence that gives you what you need to clean up the mess. His presence is so good. And he won't withhold it. He's not even going to withhold it in the field if you want it there. See, we're with him all the time. And sometimes I think when we've stayed and we've stuck after it, we somehow, it just becomes routine. It just becomes mundane. It just becomes what we do. And the Father is like, but you've had me here this whole time. You and I can commune, you and I, this whole entire time, what I've done for your brother, I'm willing and wanting to do for you as well. This whole time. You've had me with you this whole time. Engage me. Stop serving and engage me as a son. I've created you to be a son. Engage. Engage me. Please. I got messes I want to clean up, and I need you to engage me. I've got parties to throw, and I need you to engage me because I want you in the party. Thank you for doing the hard things. I can hear the Father saying, thank you. I've seen your hard choices. I've seen that you've stayed the course. I have seen. And you know what? I've been with you this whole time. Even the little bit that we think that we have accomplished in our own by staying, it's really because the Father was with us in that. So really, it's all about him. It really is. It really is all about him. I've been yelling, and I hate that. But this is all to me, and I had to apologize to the girls Saturday morning because I was hollering, box out, box out, and I get into the basketball game, and they weren't boxing out. And one of the girls came over, and she's like, you're yelling box out, and it's not helping. And she's almost in tears. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? Like, I don't even know what I did. And so I went in at halftime, and I just said, ladies, look, I'm not yelling at you. I am into the game. I don't know how to turn that off. And so I am not yelling at you, even though it feels like I'm yelling at you. I promise I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling. I don't know why I think it's a, I don't mind yelling at basketball games, but I don't like it when I'm speaking. But I don't, it's just sometimes when I get passionate, you know, because I've judged preachers who yell, that's why. There's a lot wrong with it. But anyway, God is up to something. He is up to something. And I do know that it won't look like it looked before. Even if it's the same wordage, even if it's the same, even if it feels a little familiar, it won't look the same. For one, it won't look the same because we're all different. We've all grown. We've all walked through things. So it can't look the same. And he said to me, you can be broken and whole and emptied and full. It's not one or the other. It's both. And when we get a hold of that, we'll hang on every word he said. And we'll be able to step out. And we'll be able to believe for things again. We'll be able to dream again. We'll be able to believe him again. So God, I just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that I am yours to carry. This body is yours to carry. This region, this city, this state, this fight for life, this fight for the unborn, it's yours to carry. I thank you that you always carry the heavy end. And if we are yoked to you, your burden is easy and your yoke is light. So even when we stand in the midst of something that seems so incredibly big and overwhelming, we can stand. Because you have us. I thank you, God, for who you are and that you are faithful and you are just. And you are true and you are good. And I thank you. And I ask, Daddy, for a deeper revelation deep on the inside of us of how to wrap our heads and our hearts around being broken yet whole and emptied yet full. And help us, God, to release judgment, to embrace one another, to encourage one another, to help one another. Restore and heal friendships, restore and heal relationships, God, and just because we all need each other. I just love you and I thank you for who you are, God. And you are faithful. And you are good. I thank you that you desire for us to be known as sons and daughters. And you desire us to fulfill and to reach everything that you have for us. I thank you that you are not finished. I thank you that you are faithful and just to complete the work that you started in each and every one of us, and we can lay all of it at your feet and let you carry it. We love you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.